Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Into In My Feelings, how do we overcome anger? How do we overcome anger? Some of you are angry right now that I just said that. We're beginning a new message series called In My Feelings. We live in a world where people are ruled by their feelings. However they feel is how they operate. You see it everywhere. Your feelings, like in this world, we give more credence to our feelings than the truth sometimes. We look at our feelings and we go, this is what I'm going to live. People live in their feelings even when those feelings aren't healthy, and it's definitely not reality. You tell somebody that, ooh, but there's still feelings. Feelings become people's reality even when those feelings are wrong. And I'm going to tell you, some of us, we've been living with feelings that are not right. And God wants to redeem those feelings. God wants to turn those feelings around and really help us to live an emotionally healthy life. Feelings, if left unchecked, can cause a lot of damage and pain in our lives and the lives of people around us. And anger is one of those things. Anger in itself is not the problem. What we do with that anger is the issue. If we take it out on everyone around us, you better get ready because Jesus has something to say about it today. We live in an angry world. Everywhere you go, like, I can't believe how angry people are. They've given into anger. That's why we're reading about the shootings, and we're reading about the stuff that all over our country, we're just scratching our heads. If you've driven in Medford, you know people give into anger. I'm just telling you. That's why I don't have a Jesus sticker on my car. I don't want them to know in case I get mad or, you know, in case I don't deal with my anger right. That's why we don't have Hope City car stickers. Oh, those people go to Hope City. Psh. Everywhere we look, people are getting angry and they're taking it out on others. But we need to be different. God wants us to live emotionally healthy lives where we process through the emotions with the filter of God's word and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. A lot of our feelings, though, comes from brokenness. You might have been broken for a long time, and that's what dictates your feelings, and that's how you look at life, and that's the filter. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants to heal those feelings, too. That's why we do soul care. That's why we're focused on helping people get whole and healed. Some of you are living with things that go back to your childhood, that you're broken and you're lost, and God wants to change that around, and he wants to turn those feelings around. I think that's why we have so much addiction today. People don't know how to deal with their feelings, so they turn to a drug, or they turn to food, or they turn to sex, or they turn to all of these different things when Jesus is saying, no, I'm here to help you process through these feelings. We can't ignore our feelings or just push them down and hope they're going to go away. Oh, I'm better now. I'm just pushing my feelings down, and I'm not mad anymore. I'm good. We push them down, and you pretend, because sometimes it's hard to deal with those feelings. But the more you push them down and hope they go away, the more one day they pop up and go, oh, my goodness, I'm not emotionally healthy. I need God's help. We can't ignore. We've been in Matthew 5 this spring where Jesus preached his first sermon. We also know this sermon as the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to dig back in to look at what Jesus was saying. Jesus dealt with some very heavy topics in the first sermon that we need to pay attention to. We've got to have our eyes open to. Jesus' first sermon turned the world upside down. He changed how people thought. He came along and said, no, this is how you're thinking, but this is how you need to think. He turned the world upside down. Or did he turn the world right side up? Because I think our world today is upside down. Throughout Jesus' teaching, there were things that he was so clear about, and especially how we live our lives and how we live with others, that we have to pay close attention to. And today's segment of Scripture, like, get ready. Like, it's going to floor you, okay? There are things in Scripture that are very clear, that you know, as you're looking at Scripture, you know Jesus has called us to live this way. There's other things that are a little bit more vague, and I think that he gives you the opportunity to listen to his voice and really figure that out on your own and figure it out with him. Not on your own, but figuring out, like, okay, God, what do you have for my life? What are my personal convictions? Okay? The things that Jesus is clear about are the things that we better be paying attention to. When he comes straight out and he says, this is what you need to know. And I think it's shocking because sometimes the things we think that are important and we hold other people to, Jesus doesn't say a word about, but the things that he thinks are important, we cross the line all the time. And so today is one of those times where Jesus laid it out. It's so important that we know his voice and we listen for his direction. And when we run across Jesus being very clear, one hint, if you're a Bible reader, which I hope you all are, whenever you come to red letter words, pay attention. Stop and pay attention to those red letter words, because those are Jesus' words. If you don't have a red letter Bible, get one, because it's fascinating, okay? Oh, I just ignore all the letters in the red. No, don't do that, okay? There's a reason. It's exactly the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was clear about the things that would cause harm and destruction in our lives and what would bring great blessing. He didn't mince words at all. And see, here's the thing about Jesus. When he spoke, he wasn't trying to cause us to not have fun or to be like, give all these. He was giving us things that we needed to know so that we could live our lives and we could see victory. Okay? That's the Bible. If you look at the Bible as, oh man, this is like the biggest killjoy in the world, and I'm not, this is my Bible. So, I mean, I read it on my phone. And if you've got your phone, check in. But if you read your Bible and you think, oh man, these are all these rules, and like Jesus is trying to like tell us what to do, and because we don't like to be told what to do as humans. But I want you to know, when you read Scripture, everything in Scripture is meant to protect you. It's meant to protect you. It's your owner's manual, okay? It's like saying, okay, I have a car, and I have to put gas in my tank, and you put diesel. Guess what happens? It doesn't work very well, okay? Jesus was clear about the things that would cause harm. He did not mince words at all. There is no secret to what he called us to as a believer. He was clear on the action that we needed to take our lives to make sure that we're following Jesus in our emotions and our feelings. You can't just follow Jesus with just part of your heart, but it's with your emotions and your feelings. He created you. That we submit all of our feelings to God and allow him to correct us and guide us. Lord, this is what I'm feeling today. Correct me, guide me, show me what's right, show me what's wrong. I take it to you to point out every feeling that is contrary to his word and his kingdom that we've allowed to stand in our lives and bring healthy and whole emotions into our lives. And I want to tell you, if your emotions match the world's emotions, you better be concerned. We are called to deal with emotions differently than what the world does. For some, this means that God needs to completely rewire you and teach you how to work through your feelings and emotions. Maybe you are never shown on how to successfully do that with God's word. Maybe you're new to the faith and you're like, okay, I got to figure this out. God will help you to process. God will bring healing. He wants to change your mindset and show you how to process these feelings. He wants to set you free from being ruled by your emotions and bring emotional health. A few months ago, I talked about emotions being like a roller coaster, right? Anybody remember that when we talked about the emotional roller coaster? You're like, whoa, I'm going upside down. I'm puking all over the place. I hate this ride. And you get down to the place where you can get off, and you're, I'm going again. Here we go again. And just, I hate roller coasters. Like, I don't even get on them. But we love emotion. Some people love emotional roller coasters, where it's like one ride after another when you can get off, and you just decide to stick on. And I'm calling you to get off that emotional roller coaster. Live differently. I promise you, God will change your life. He's calling you to get off this roller coaster of emotions. He's calling you to stop cycling. Listen, he's calling you to stop going around the same mountain time and time and time again. Do you know what a cycle is? It's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And I want to tell you, on our own, we can't break free of it. You only break cycles when you submit your feelings to God, you submit what you're thinking to God, you say, God, okay, here I am, I'm opening up all to you. God, I'm good to give you, hi. Little cute guy back there. Babies always catch my attention. You can't just stuff your emotions and hope they go away. Most of the time, our feelings are symptoms. So my question to you is, what's the root? Let God get in and deal with the root. Let the Holy Spirit come and show you the root of what your feelings and your emotions, where is it coming from? Have you ever heard the statement, hurt people, hurt people? That happens all the time. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, I don't want to hurt somebody else. I want God to heal my hurt. Because when you hear that hurt people, what all of a sudden I'm going, they're broken inside. They're miserable inside, and they're trying to make everyone else miserable. A great example of a person hurting and broken, lashing out to people. If you're broken and you've never experienced the supernatural healing of God in your life, it is time that you experience that. It's time to dig down to the root and let God in to heal it. That's exactly what Jesus was encouraging in the Beatitudes and in the Sermon on the Mount. Get to the root. Allow God to heal you, even if it's painful. I don't want to go back and remember that stuff. I don't want to go back to the point where I was hurt. I don't want to go back to the point that I was broken. But guess what? If you go back to that point, it's going to be pain for a moment, but freedom for the long term. Freedom from the long term. So where do your feelings come from? Feelings and emotions are directly tied to your thoughts. What you think about things, okay? What we choose to think about and what we choose to dwell on, it fuels our feelings and emotions. It's why we have to be so careful with the thoughts that we choose to think about, even in your past trauma. What are you going to think about? Are you going to sit there and think about all of the things that hurt you and stew on that and just go over it and over it? I promise you that's what brings fear, that brings anxiety, that brings stress. How about, Lord, I'm giving you these feelings and thoughts and the things that are going through my head, and God, you're going to do this. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:5 says this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of Christ and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You cannot afford one thought to slip by. You can't afford one thought to slip by that's not of God. Not one. Sometimes we sit there and we mindlessly, like, we're just checked out. There are thoughts that are even coming at that moment. You have to be on guard. How do you do that? Because that seems exhausting and overwhelming. How about we say, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. And when a thought comes into my mind that's not of you, show me right away. Show me right away. Even how you think about your trauma and your brokenness and the things that happened a long time ago in life, the enemy loves to magnify that. Take every thought captive. So today we're jumping in. Here we are, Matthew 5, 21 through 26. And here the roller coaster goes. Let's go. You're familiar, and not the one I was just talking about where you, no, like we're getting on a good roller coaster now. The ones that don't go upside down and make you sick. All right, here we go. You're familiar with the command of the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Whoa, Jesus, what did you just say? Okay, he's on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what he comes up with after the Beatitudes. You're familiar with the command of the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Anger is the feeling that and emotion that Jesus deals with, and he speaks directly in this section of Scripture. Do you catch what Jesus said? If you are angry with a brother or sister or a wife or a child or your coworker or the person driving down the street, you're guilty of murder. Now, wait a second here. What does Jesus mean? We're going to dig into this. When we talk about anger, we're not talking about righteous anger. We're talking about unrighteous anger. We're talking about the anger that rises up inside of us, and we just let it blow out on everyone around us. He's teaching about anger towards another person. How could anger be the same as murder? This would have completely blown the minds of the people that were sitting in this crowd when Jesus said, hey, you're angry with somebody, you're angry with your brother, it's the same as murder. Like, talk about turn the world upside down. It was a shocking statement that would definitely get the people's attention, especially the religious folks sitting in the crowd. Oh, we'd never kill. We follow all the religious rules. Like, we follow all the commandments to the T. And Jesus goes, oh, yeah? What happens when you're angry? Oh, yeah? What happens when you're angry? Jesus called them to a better way of life. The Bible talks about anger over 206 times. It's an important topic that the Bible has a lot to say about. Dealing with anger in the right way is a vital part of living an emotionally healthy life and dealing with your feelings in a biblical manner. What do you do with that anger? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about three key points that we pull from this portion of Scripture. Point number one, again, anger is dangerous. You allow anger to grow in your life, and it is dangerous. Even if you're sitting behind a keyboard on social media, You allow anger to grow, and it is dangerous, and it's not dangerous to anybody other than you yourself. Listen to this, and we're going to read it again, Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought down before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Well, I just don't like people that judge me. Wow. Anger is dangerous. Allowing anger in your life will bring judgment. That's what Scripture says. We love to live and not talk about judgment. Oh, don't judge me. But the reality of it is when we dig into Scripture and you allow anger to go unchecked in your life, it's sin. And it's really quiet in here, Paula. The Bible is very clear in Ephesians 4:26. It tells us, don't sin by letting anger control you. Okay, that's where the sin becomes. When anger controls you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. I made that a rule in my life. I do not, and Paula, like I go, I'm not going to bed till we have this figured out. Because you go to bed and it's worse the next morning when you wake up. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Get it figured out. Jesus made it clear, unchecked anger is the pathway to destruction in our lives. And it doesn't matter if the rest of the world is angry. God's calling us to live different. He's reminded us that our thoughts and our intentions matter just as much as our actions. If you struggle with anger in your life, it's important to really dig down deep and find out where that anger is coming from. Anger is a symptom of hurt, brokenness, fear, pain, frustration, maybe even a generational curse that you've had in your family. It's vital. Dig down and allow Jesus to heal whatever it is in your life that's causing anger. When anger happens in your life, don't just ignore it. Be wide awake. Don't just ignore, well, that's just me. I'm just an angry person. Really? Okay, read what Jesus said about angry people. If anger controls you, instead of you controlling your anger, with God's help, the potential of broken relationships and broken people because of your anger is great. And I think that's where the issue is. When we take that anger and we unleash it on other people around us, even if you don't know the people, that's where the issue becomes. That becomes the problem. Anything you mix with anger is a bad combination. Well, I'm just so mad at my kids, I'm going to go spank them. No, don't do that in anger. I'm so mad at that person, I'm giving them a piece of my mind. Anytime you mix anger with any of this stuff, it's a bad thing. Well, man, I'm going to go talk to that person because I'm mad at them. Dealing with your spouse in anger, it is so much better to take a breather and back off before you deal with stuff. Okay? Sometimes the people who are closest to you get the brunt of your anger, and it's not fair. That's what Jesus is calling us to live different. You cannot use anger as an excuse to abuse people, even with your words. And that's what Jesus was calling us to. He said, your words are bringing death. Your words are killing people. Remember, we go back to our words. The power of life and death is in our what? Words. The greatest weapon you have is right here. This little thing right here that is hard to control. The Bible says it's the hardest part of your whole body to control is this thing right here. And there are some, and this has been an area of my life where I could just rip somebody apart with my tongue. I get mad and just, blah, 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 blah. My mom even told me one day, and this is so true. She said, it's like taking a feather pillow, opening up that pillow and just your words are strewing all those feathers around. And then you come back and you try to get all those feathers back in the pillow. Do you think that's going to happen? I wish I would have had a feather pillow this morning. That would have been so much fun. No, we have a cleanup person. Housekeeping. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, I got bad eyes. I'm just kidding. Don't be angry. We're talking about no anger. I would definitely clean it off. Jesus illustrates the power of life and death in our tongue again when he said, if you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in the danger of the fires of hell. The power of life and death is in the tongue. You could give a good reason why you're mad and why you're angry, but you can't let it control you. You can't give your anger more room in your life than God. And it is no one else's fault that you can't control your anger but yours. Whew. I still love you. But this is what Jesus is saying. Guys, we live in a world where everybody is victims. Well, I'm mad because of this, and I'm mad because of that. And I'm no, you're mad because you got to get control. Like it's nobody else's fault if you're lashing out in anger. You can't give your anger more room in your life than you give God. One of the keys to letting go of anger is forgive. You might need to forgive somebody. That might be the root, but Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. It's hard. And I want to say it right now. I'm sorry for what they did to you. But don't keep the cycle going by abusing people out of your anger. That's what Jesus is saying. Colossians 3:13 tells us, be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the Master forgave you. Controlling our anger. Anger is dangerous. Don't ever think you won't pay a price for anger. Because there's a price coming if you allow anger to go unchecked in your life. When anger has gone unchecked in your life, Jesus goes on to say this. Point number two, we got to make things right. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. This is a powerful statement. It's a powerful reminder that you can't simply go through the motions of worship without first addressing any conflicts that someone might have with you. Well, you don't understand. Everywhere I go, I cause conflict and I break up. No, that is not okay. We're called to be peacemakers. Not only in the four walls of this place, but when you walk out of here, when you go to your job tomorrow morning, you are called to be a peacemaker. That's what Jesus calls us. That's what he's saying when we read and we figure this out. Like, you cannot go around breaking people if you're a Christ follower. Jesus believes so highly in reconciliation that he actually instructs us to pause our worship for God in order for us to make things right between us and someone else. And I'm going to tell you something. I think that's why some people are so disconnected when they come into worship here. Because there's brokenness everywhere they look, and they need to go get it reconciled. What are you saying, Pastor Jason? I'm saying there is so much power when you come and you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And no excuses. Guys, the biggest, most important words that we can say sometimes is, I'm sorry. Not, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry because you made me do this. Like, no. And some of that we learn by our model of parents who would never apologize, by letting pride. I think if you knew the power of the words, I'm sorry, we'd all use it a lot more often. To come along and say, yeah, I made a mistake. I blew it. It's a way to really inoculate anger in our lives. Think about the implications of that. God is worthy of our worship more than anyone in all the universe, yet we are to put we're to put that on hold in order to resolve anger with another human being. Think about that. Notice Jesus tells us that if we know that someone has something against us, it's our responsibility to make things right. Some of you are waiting for somebody to come and apologize to you, and you need to go do it. You need to be the one that goes and apologizes. You need to be the one that takes it and says, yeah, listen, I don't want to live with brokenness in my life. This takes us back to the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave us. And it's our church's mission, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It's to this, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus is concerned about both of these commandments. And he says, listen, if you're not loving your neighbor like yourself, then you got an issue. Don't come to worship till you have that reconciled and get fixed. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. You can't worship God fully and experience all that God has for you when you're in conflict with someone. And I want to tell you, the enemy loves to cause conflict in relationships throughout your life. Don't let him do it. And he uses your anger. He uses your anger. And listen, you may have every, see, in America, we're all about rights. Well, I have a right to be angry. Okay. Have fun with that. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Okay. Because anger affects you and not the other person. That's what, you can only change you. Point number three, and as we get ready to wrap up, anger has consequences. Anger has consequences. Listen, Matthew 5:20, we're going to read 25 and 26. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid every last penny. Anger has consequences. It puts you in a prison. Jesus encouraged us to go settle our differences quickly. If you have issues, this is what you got to do today. Go settle it. Go take care of it right now. Don't wait any longer. If you work to reconcile quickly, the longer you wait to reconcile, the worse it might get. To reconcile quickly, we have to choose to forgive quickly and hold short accounts. It's a spiritual prison that we're talking about when you allow anger to go unchecked in your life. And I believe that God wants to set you free. Anger has consequences. And some of you are in that prison because anger has ruled your life. And God wants to set you free. Jesus is speaking to the fact that if you allow anger to control your life and you hold on to unforgiveness, you can be put into a spiritual prison. And God wants to set you free. Even, and I think the saddest thing to me is, when you look at somebody's life, and yes, they've experienced trauma, they've experienced hard times, and they've experienced difficulties, but the enemy keeps causing more trauma because they simply won't forgive. They allow anger to rule their life. Forgiveness sets you free from this prison. It also brings you freedom. And so when you're looking at life, I want to challenge you. Ultimately, the issue of anger comes down to our relationship with God. When there's anger in our life, it's a check engine light. Don't just ignore it. I know some of you, your maintenance light comes on in your car and you ignore it. Or your gas tank gets to the bottom of empty and you ignore it, thinking you have another 10 miles. Okay? Anger is a red light on your dashboard. Figure out why you're operating in anger. You cannot afford to ignore it. Don't forget that Jesus classifies anger as a sin deserving judgment. He tells us that it's important to get healed of our anger towards humans and work things out. He's serious about it. He's serious about his followers pursuing godliness. You've heard it said, do not murder, but Jesus tells us he's also serious about the sinfulness that anger can cause in our lives. Bottom line, deal with anger before God has to deal with our anger. Take it to him.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.